is, this is what the next 3 weeks are gonna look like. So I'm here today, and then tomorrow, next Sunday, it is Richard, right? No, it's Jordan next Sunday. He's doing the last part of John 16, and then the week after that, on the 20th, it's Richard. Right? And he's gonna get us started on the high priestly prayer of John 17. So if you want to read ahead, we are not in John today, but next week we will be back in John. And that's where we're going today, and next Sunday, and the Sunday after that. So although we're still in our series in John, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but we are hitting the part of John that is just like it's John is deep, and we're going into the even deeper waters. It's an amazing section that we have ahead of us in the next few weeks. So that's going to be really, I'm really looking forward to that. Today, what we're doing is we're going to do another one of our one another's. We started on New Year's Eve Sunday. We started a series that we're fitting in on various Sundays throughout the year, where we're looking at various one another's in the Bible. We find these one another's throughout the New Testament. They're passages that instruct us on how we, as brothers and sisters, should act towards each other. And dismiss the kids. Children, you may go to Sunday school. You are sneaking out quietly. That's, yeah, good job. Kind of Sunday it is, people. So the one another passages are how we should act towards one another, also how we should not act towards one another. We'll hit a couple of those as we piece this series on various Sundays throughout the year. Okay, so that's where we're going today. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father God, again we come to you before you. It is an amazing truth that you love us. It is an amazing truth that you are a God where your love matters. It's amazing to me, it should be amazing to all of us, that you are so transcendent that we can't take you in. You're bigger than we could ever comprehend. You're bigger than our thoughts could ever take our thoughts about you too. And yet you're a personable God. A God who walks alongside us. A God who loves us, knows us, died for us. Let all of us here today just reflect on the goodness of who you are. Thank you, Father. We thank you for this great privilege we have in our time and culture, that we can freely gather. We can gather together with one another. We can gather with our brothers and sisters and sing about the truth that we need you. That's a good thing. You want us to grow in our dependence of you. That's a good thing. We sing that we're finally free because of what you accomplished on Calvary. We sing worship. We proclaim our need. We proclaim your goodness. Let us be those people, Father. We pray that as we spend time together, you'd stir in our hearts an ever-growing affection for you. And then as we leave from here, that affection for you would translate into an affection for one another. That our affection for you would be evident to the people who interact with us. That our affection for you would be what we would be known for. Our love for you. Our devotion for you. Our obedience to you. Thank you, Father. I pray for our time together. I pray again that you would stir our hearts in ever-growing affection for you. That we'd look at these passages, that we'd wrestle with these thoughts. We'd see how they apply to us. I pray, Father, that where we should feel conviction, we feel conviction. I pray, Father, that we would not take it to the point where we are burdening ourselves with something that you're not calling us to. And then on the other hand of that, Father, I pray that we would not too quickly dismiss what we're talking about today. When we don't focus on the gospel, Father, we get these wrong. I pray that you help us just to stay focused on the gospel, work through these two passages in Romans, and talk about welcoming one another. Thank you, Father. Your name. Amen. I need to start with a bit of a disclaimer with you guys. So the elders believe that the next season of Grace Church includes a healthy, purposeful small group ministry. Post-COVID, we have not had a great small church, a small group ministry, and that's okay. But looking forward to the next season, we want to have an inclusion of looking at the deeper things that are holding us back from deeper relationships with God, a deeper relationship with God. Sometimes it's our hurts, those things that we carry from our past. If we're to be honest, all of us have hurts. Sometimes it's the habits we have, those things that we hold on to, that another word for it is idols. All of us have those. And so we're going to talk about soul care. We're going to talk about the one another's. We're going to engage in what does it look like to move ever closer towards God. I also want to make sure that you know that the elders do not see this as a new direction or a first step for Grace Church. This is more of the disclaimer. You guys are, we are as a church, we're a church that cares for one another. It's good. We do this well, but we can always be doing it better, and we can be growing in this. Grace Church is actually quite good at being aware of what's going on in the lives of others. You care for one another. It's part of why we're having trouble finding a deacon of benevolence, because every time we've had one, they're ahead of me. They're always aware. Those of you who over the last year have had tragedy or something come up in your lives have commented that the church has rallied around. It's a good thing. So the disclaimer is, this isn't us talking about caring as if it's a new concept. We're talking about caring as in, what does the next step look like? Okay, so that's the disclaimer. That's where we're going. We want it to be seen not as if it's something new, but as if it's something deeper. So as we work through the One Another series, there are some presuppositions that we have to wrestle with. They're foundational to this series. Some things that we as individuals and as a church need to think about. We need to wrestle with what do we actually believe about the One Another's that we see in Scripture. We have to think through and wrestle with how do the One Another's apply to me? How do they apply to you? How do they apply to your family life? This week I'm going to ask us to wrestle with two of these presuppositions. The first is this, something that should stand out to us. And there's no escaping this. The One Another commands assume a local church community. The One Another commands assume that you're in a local church community. There's no escaping this. There's no individualism within One Another. They contradict each other. So yes, One Another's are consistent with how we should treat all people, but the One Another's assume that we are striving to treat each other that way within the local church. If Grace Church is your church home, if Grace Church is our church home, then we are supposed to know one another and be known by one another. To truly be living out the One Another commands, we need to be in real community. I want us all to wrestle with that. We're not going to make it an interactive. I'm happy to interact with you on these, but we're not doing that now, which is totally fine. But if you want to get together and wrestle over once I get back from Rwanda, I am happy to do this. Because our temptation is to look at something that calls for true community and do nothing, to be passive. We have to wrestle with this, because if you're passive, in essence, what you're saying is that you disagree. You disagree that we're called for true community. That's what passivity does in this case. So I want us to wrestle with that. Do you agree? Do you disagree? If you disagree, why? If you agree, what does that look like? And are you swayed by your preferences? I am. I have to keep my preferences in check when it comes to things like the One Another's. Because my preference would be not to do the One Another's. My preferences would be to not live in true community. The second thing that we need to wrestle with is whether we see the one another's as commands or suggestions. Do you think scripture records them as suggestions or ideals, or are they commands? Do you think that they are commands, but you have a reason why they don't apply to you? How you have this special out because of how you're wired or what's going on or your upbringing? Are they ideals or are they commands? The one another commands are actually that, commands. I command you. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Are you swayed by your preferences? Part of our ongoing challenge with the One Another series will be that this topic causes us to grapple with our desire for control. We like to believe, we like the illusion that we're in control. And so when we're confronted with one another's, when we're confronted with what does life look like in true community, we prefer to kind of find our level water spot where we're comfortable, where we can convince ourselves that we're doing it. But here's why we don't have to go further. That's something that we all have to grapple with. It's good for us to be aware that our own perspectives, our own desires impact this. But then we have to do something with that. So when we look at our first passage, we're going to Romans 5, page 942 in your Pew Bible. Those are the blue, thin ESVs. If you are using a Pew Bible here and you want a larger print, there are larger print ones at the lending library. So always feel free to grab one of those as well. Romans 5, and we're just going to look at the first five verses. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. This is an amazing text. Look at verse 1. Therefore, everything that's been coming up, therefore, because of that, since we have been justified by Christ, since we've been reconciled to God, through the work of Christ, since we've been reconciled to God, we have peace with God. We should always pause when we think about that. We were hostile enemies of God, and he reconciled us so that he is now at peace with us. Not the absence of hostility, but correct relationship. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. If we're in right relationship with God, our love for God and our love for others should be growing. That's we can infer that from what Paul is saying here. He's not spelling it out quite that clear, but that's implied within this. We are growing in our ability to suffer and suffer well. We're growing in our ability to worship and worship well. We are growing in the knowledge that God is at peace with us. And we find that truth so mind-boggling that we're okay letting people in to see who we truly are. We're okay with authentic community. I want to do a thought exercise with you. And we're going to make this part interactive. Okay? So I'm going to give you something to think about. And then I'm going to ask for your answer. And you just shout out your answer. If you want to. You don't have to shout it out. It's interactive. And so here's the first one. You'll see where we go. It's pretty self-explanatory. What is your favorite sport to watch? Okay, so just think about that. What is your favorite sport to watch? Okay, go ahead.
Football.
Soccer.
Ball.
Sorry?
Rugby.
Rugby. heard hockey, football, soccer. I think even some of the people who said football were highbrowing us and they were using it the European way. Baseball and others. How many of you are Canucks fans? Put up your hands. Very few of you. I need to make fun of a different sports team, or else you know that you're going to be made fun of. So we're going with the Canucks there. Okay, that's the announcer we're going to use. What's your favorite TV show? Think about it. What? No? That's too hard. No? It's hard. That's not a TV show. Okay, your favorite TV show. Next Level Chef, is that the only show that you're the only person out of all of us who watch TV? Okay, here's the next question. Is discussing politics good or not? Is discussing politics good or not? Are you ready? One, two, three.
Yes.
Both answers, yes and no. We will say yes, and we will say adamantly. Sorry? Discussing adamantly. Okay, here's the next question. I will say it, then I'll count down, okay? Dogs or cats? 3, 2, 1.
Dogs!
One person yelled cats louder than anyone else, one person yelled, but dogs carry the day, as they should. Okay, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about a non-essential theological position that you hold. Okay, a non-essential. So what I mean by that is a theological position. I would use the term hobby horse, but I don't want to be disparaging to anyone when you shout out. A non-theological or non-essential means that it does not bear on your salvation. Okay? So if one of you yells out, the Trinity, I will be making a note of who that is, and we will be spending some time together this afternoon. Okay? So a non-essential theological position. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1.
Baptism.
Oh, okay. Whew. Christy's an elder's wife there. That would have been awkward. Sorry, I heard end times. Spiritual. That was you?
What?
Someone yelled at cessation.
I did, yes.
Yeah. Spiritual gifts. Okay, let's use end times. That's the easy one. Although some of you might think that that's an essential. But for the sake of argument, let's make that. Okay. So here's what we have. Okay? This is you for the sake of argument. For the sake of this illustration, I am about to describe you, okay? You are a huge Canucks fan who every Thursday you join your wife and watch Next Level Chef, your spouse and watch Next Level Chef. You love talking politics. You're a dog person. And you love talking about end times. And you have a very specific end times view. Okay?
That was non-essential.
Yeah.
Then you're saying very specific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay, so you're a Canucks fan. On Thursday evenings, you watch Next Level Chef with your spouse. You love talking politics. You have a very specific view of politics. You have multiple dogs that are well-behaved and trained greatly. And you have very strong specifics on end times view. You can't get enough of the book of Revelation, Zechariah, and Daniel, and passages in Ezekiel. Okay? That's you. Someone who holds those exact views as you moves next door. Except the end times one. They're not a Christian. Okay? They love the Canucks. They can't get enough of Next Level Chef. They want to form a pool of Next Level Chef. Their dogs run and bound and play with yours. They share the exact same political views as you, and they want to go and put up yard signs before the next election. Okay? That's your neighbor on one side. On the other side, a person moves in, they don't watch hockey, they think it's stupid. They don't have a TV. They're a cat person. They have several cats. They don't think the end times is that important, but when they talk about it, their position is radically different than yours. But they get the gospel completely and utterly. They understand it. There's evidence of the fruit of the Spirit growing in their life. Who do you have more in common with? Who do you have more in common with? Do you have more in common with this neighbor who loves the Canucks like you do? Loves Next Level Chef like you do? Goes on dog park dates with you as you do? And what's the other one? And shares your political view completely and utterly, but is a non-Christian. Or this person over here who hates hockey, doesn't own a TV, has several cats that they breed, has a different end times view than you, and thinks that politics is not that essential, but when they do vote, it's actually different than how you do. But they get the gospel. You don't have to answer this, but who do you have more in common with? Because these things, all of these things, especially the Canucks, are non-essentials. They don't matter as much as we make them out to. Getting the gospel is what matters. And if we're getting the gospel, we should have more in common with other people who get the gospel. What Christ has done for us should be the single biggest thing that we focus on, think about, talk about. And if we are blessed to have a neighbor who does that likewise, it should be easy for us to move into community. Can you be in community with people who see politics different than you? Can you be in true community with people who see end times different than you? Can you be in true community with people who don't care for the Canucks like you do? Those are things we have to grapple with if we're going to talk about community. Those are things that we have to figure out. What if they had a different view than you on climate change? I grew up in a family where we raised cattle. It was instilled in me to be naturally distrustful of vegetarians. To this day, it's something I have to struggle with. If you're a vegetarian who goes to the chiropractor, my mom would have had issue with you, and that was passed down. We can disagree on everything that's non-essential, but if we get the gospel, that commonality should allow us to have community. We dismiss that truth too often. If we understand who God is and his vastness, that he's the creator, who he truly is. If we understand that our first parents rebelled against that perfect holy order, and we've been part of that rebellion ever since, and that Christ came and, born of a virgin, lived the perfect life we could never live, died in our place as a substitute, rose again, ascended into heaven, is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, and will return again one day. If we understand those things, we know we have to respond. Because we're betting our lives on what we believe about those things. And if someone says that when you will go through those things, who God is, how we are in desperate need, when we sing, I need thee, I need thee, I need thee every hour, we are actually proclaiming way more than we realize. If we understand our great need, who God is, our great need, and that Christ came for us, and our neighbor gets those things, we have more in common than we think. And it should blow us away that we have that in common. Because then we truly are brothers and sisters. It's gospel related. Our community is gospel related. Let's keep going. Let's go to Romans 15, verses 1 to 8. Romans 15, that's page 949 in your pew Bible, starting at verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to life in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, that together you may have one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Look at verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. This is a proverbial gut punch. Do you think that you're a strong Christian? If you were to assess yourself, are you a strong Christian? If the answer is yes, then you have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please yourself. You have an obligation to bear with their cat liking, their indifference to politics. We're to be an encouragement to one another. We're to point our weaker brothers and sisters to the gospel. Verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Therefore, because of all Christ has accomplished, welcome one another. If you're a stronger, more mature brother and sister, welcome the weaker brothers and sisters. When you hear the word welcome, what do you think of? Paul is not talking about elaborate performances meant to impress and keep others at a safe distance. Paul is not talking about having it all together before we have people into our home. The word for welcome used in Romans 15:7 carries with it the idea of acceptance without prejudice. We are not judging them on the non-important differences. We see the same theme in James 2. It is an invitation to a relationship that is one-sided. Not in the sense that one person is selfishly taking, but in the friendship and kindness that are extended without an expectation of anything in return. Paul is saying that Christ is the standard, the model. And because we were the recipients of that phenomenally one-sided relationship, Christ has welcomed us, and we are to do likewise. Christ welcomes us while we rejected him. Jesus brought us repentance through grace and truth. While we were his enemies, he died for us. He accepted us when we were his enemies. It is completely one-sided. So because of what Christ has done, if we consider ourselves to be mature, strong brothers and sisters, because of what Christ has accomplished, because we're the great recipients of that, it impacts how we interact, how we engage with one another. Point 6 and 7 are basically the same, so let's move to our takeaways. Again, first and foremost, make it your life's work to live out the gospel. Do you believe that you can have true Christian community based on something other than Christ? Do you wrongly believe you can have true Christian community based on something other than Christ? You can have friends apart from the gospel, but you cannot have gospel-centered lives the way we are called to apart from the gospel. Let me repeat that. You can have friends apart from the gospel, but you cannot have gospel-centered lives as we are called to apart from the gospel. Number 2, living out the command to welcome one another pushes us past ourselves. wrestle with that. What does true community look like? What are your excuses that you're prone to use? I have mine. I'm sure you have yours. Are you aware of them? Are you weeding them out? Do you agree that they are commands? If they are not commands, what are they? Do you visit with just the same people each Sunday? Again, remember the disclaimer. This church does a good job at that, but all of us can lapse into bad habits. Number three, are you proactively expanding your gospel community? Are you proactively expanding your gospel community? Is your gospel community offering hope to a fallen, broken world? That's what Soul Care is hoping to accomplish. We're hoping that it becomes a means by which we are offering hope to a fallen, broken world. Number four, remember the Romans 15 passage. We who are strong, if you consider yourself a mature Christian, someone who gets the gospel, you cannot be sitting around waiting to be included by others. They're not compatible. If you are a mature Christian, if you are a strong Christian, someone who gets the gospel, then you have been given the marching orders to include others. Lastly, we should talk about Soul Care. Soul Care is aimed to foster the one another's within Grace Church. It is designed to help us deal with that thing that is causing a bottleneck in your maturing. That thing that is causing you to level out. That thing that is allowing you to dismiss the one another's. We all have something blocking us. We all have the propensity to level out, to plateau. It could be our pride. It could be our past hurts. It could be our failures. It could be our shame. We need to talk about shame more in this series than we will. This is the desired audience of Soul Care. Are you ready to see if one of these three things apply to you? Here's the desired audience. Sinners, sufferers, or saints, or some combination thereof. The vast majority of us have overlap in those areas. Sinners, sufferers, saints. Sinners, what are our idols? Are we even aware of them? We all have them. Sufferers, did your parents do it ever on you? Did something tragic happen? My heart truly goes out to you. But those are the sufferers, those things we carry from past events. And saints, those of us who call God Father. I love talking about God and the gospel. I am passionate about Soul Care, so feel free to email me, text me, and we'll set something up when I get back from Rwanda. We're going, okay? Let's pray. Father God, let us not too quickly run over that. Father God, I pray for us as a church, Father. It's evident that you're working on people. It's evident that people are growing. They're calling upon you. And yet, Father, we know that there's still challenges. It's evident that some people are becoming indifferent towards you, or worse, moving away from you. Let us be a church that truly understands our responsibility to love one another well, to welcome one another, to care for one another, to be engaged because of how you first loved us. Let us love others. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that great love. In your name, amen.